Okay, so at the end of Noach and the beginning of Lech Lecha, we meet the main character of good ten prakim of Bereishit, which is obviously Avram. Now, the truth is the beginning story of Avram is a little bit confusing. And this is what many of the Farshim noted. We're going to focus on two Pashtanim today and how they deal with this problem. If you start Parshat Lech Lecha, so you get Vayomer Adonai El Avram, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha Umimoladetecha Mibeit Avicha El Aretz Asher Eka Ve'ezcha L'goy Gadol, etc. And leave your land, and I'll make you into a great nation. And in Pasuk Dalet, you get Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Elav Adonai Vayelech Itolod Avram Ben Chamesh Shanim Ve'Shivim Shana Betzeito Mecharon. So he left 75 years old, and he took Lot, Vaykach Avram et Sarai Yishto, etc. In the end of the pasuk, Vayelchu Lolechet Arza Kenan, Vayvo Arza Kenan. So if you just read the first, five, six psukim of Lech Lecha, so you would assume that why did Avram leave? Because God told him. Where did he leave from? Haran, and that's what you would get, right? That's not so complicated. The problem is that by the time you get to, but if you go back just to the end of last week's parasha, it gets very confusing, because what happened at the end of last week's parasha? Yeah, right, is that at the end of last week's parasha, when we met Terach, first of all, you find out that he's not from Haran, he's from Ur Kasdim, right? Which is a different place, for the record. And Vayikach Avram and Achor Lam Nashim, so they get married. And in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayikach Terach and Avram Beno Vet Lot Ben Haran Ben Beno Vet Sarayka Ado Eishet Avram Beno Vayitu Itam Yerkatim Lech Arza Kenan Vayvoat Haran Vayitu Sham. Terach took them going to Canaan, and they stopped in Haran. Right, so the end of last week's parasha, the feeling you get is that first of all, Terach is responsible for them going to Israel, and they're coming from Ur Kasdim, and they just end up for some reason getting delayed in Haran and never leaving. And as soon as you open Perek Yud Bet, it sounds like no, Avram was in charge, not Terach, and Avram left specifically for divine command, which doesn't appear in Perek Yud Aleph, right? And his starting place seems to be Haran, right, rather than Ur Kasdim. Now this is complicated not just from here, but in Bereishit Perek Chof Dalet, when Avram sends Eliezer to go and find a wife for Rivka, he says, El Arzi Vel Moladeti, and where does he go? Haran, which makes it sound again like beginning of Lech Lecha, that Haran is his birthplace, rather than where he happened to have ended up after Terach already left Ur Kasdim. It sounds like they originated in Haran, right? So you can't just say, oh, they were in Ur Kasdim and then they were in Haran, but really Ur Kasdim is his home, right? It's not really true. It sounds like from Bereishit Chof Dalet that Haran is his home. But in Yoshua, Perek Chof Dalet, when retelling the story of the Jewish people, it says that Avram comes from Eivar HaNahar, which is not totally clear what that means, but Eivar HaNahar sounds like it's Ur Kasdim, which is on the other side of the Euphrates, right? So it's really not clear what happens, and all the Mefarshim try to figure out what is going on here. So, we'll focus on two Pashtanim. Now, there is a major machloket in general between Mefarshim. How willing are we to posit a chronological readings of Chumash, right? The Ramban, in general, runs away from this unless he's pushed into a corner. Other Mefarshim, both Midrash-based Mefarshim, people like Rashi, and certain Pashtunim, like Ibn Ezra, are really not scared of achronological reads. They are totally fine with saying, yeah, the Torah isn't written in order, right? And you can solve problems by rearranging the way things happened. So, in this particular case, that is part of the solution for both the Ibn Ezra and for the Radak, who are two major of the Pashtunim. So, who are they? Let's now do our bios, right? Who is the Ibn Ezra?
Father of
If Avram ibn Ezra, when does he live? Come on. What? When? Let's get his exact years. No, you're a little bit late on him. Right? Ibn Ezra. I'll get his exact years. 1 second. The Ibn Ezra is from 1089 to 1167. Remember, he's before the Ramban. The Ramban is responding to him. And he is from Spain, right? He travels around different places in Spain. He actually does a lot of traveling. He ends up in England for a little bit. He has back and forth with Balei HaTosfot. There's actually two places in Shas where he has where he's quoted in Tosfot as having a debate with Rabbeinu Tam. And he is he's a Pashtan, right? Meaning he cares about the simple pshat of the psukim. He for halachic purposes always sides with Chazal, which is not true of the Rashbam, right? That the Rashbam in his Peirush on the Torah does not necessarily do that, but the Ibn Ezra, probably because he's in constant battle with the Karaites, never entertains, even as a pshat interpretation of the Pasuk, a halachic interpretation that's at odds with Chazal, he never does that. But in non-halachic issues, he does. He, in fact, in one case, gets into a very vicious fight with the Rashbam about this. I think we talked about last year in his Igeret HaShabbat, where he's absolutely livid at the Rashbam's suggestion that in Pshat, the day starts in the morning and ends at night. Right? He's livid at this and writes a very, very, very harsh letter. He doesn't actually say it's the Rashbam. He just says he heard this Pshat and writes this like vicious, beyond vicious letter, but probably it's the Rashbam, because the Rashbam indeed makes such a claim. He's a philosopher, he's a poet, right? He writes some famous poetry, for example, Tzama Nafshi, right? The Zemer is written by the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra takes up this question. Any other questions, by the way, the Ibn Ezra, right? We know the Ibn Ezra a little bit. We've heard of him. Yes? What? He's a major parashan. Again, he's a Pashtan, right? He's not bound. He doesn't feel bound. He's part of that tradition. He doesn't feel bound to Chazal's interpretations of Psukim. But again, there is a major divide within the Pashtanim, whether, even if you're willing to interpret Perushim on the Torah that are not in line with Chazal, whether you'll do that on halachic passages. Right? The Ibn Ezra will never do that. Again, part of it is because he's so involved in anti-Karaite polemics. He cannot grant them any leeway on this. The Rashbam, as a Balei HaTosfot, really isn't fighting that in the same way. So the Ibn Ezra, his solution to this is to posit a multi-tiered or multi-staged exit from Charan, right? From Ur Kasdim. This is what he writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Tet. So he says, "V'itachen shenachor b'no halach b'tchila el Charan, oba el achar aviv, v'anachon b'enai." He said, "Okay, the proper pshat according to him is as follows: Sh'amar Hashem l'Avraham kodim leze pasuk, shehu v'yikach terach, ukamo b'Torah be'achad l'chodesh hasheni b'shana hashenit, ואחר כן בחודש הראשון בשנה השנית, ועד שאמר הכתוב ללכת ארץ הכנען, וכאשר בא תרח אל חרן, ישר המקום בעיניו, ישב שם ומת, ואין מוקדם ומאוחר בתורה. Right, so what does the Ibn Ezra say? So, he suggests that the solution, and again, right, you see that already, right, the way he summarizes it is, at the end of his paragraph, if you didn't catch all the details, but let's start from the end, is, and again, part of what I want to do is this methodological point, is that Ibn Ezra, even as a Pashtan, thinks that it is totally legitimate to read the Torah not in chronological order to solve textual problems. Now, again, that methodology is introduced by Chazal as well, right? And that's why people like Rashi, who are much more based in Midrashim, are also comfortable with. The Ramban Dafka is not. So this is how the Ibn Ezra takes it. Hashem tells Avram to leave for Canaan. When? Before Terach even leaves. Right? Meaning, he doesn't read it chronologically, but he does assume that that fact that appears in Perek Yud Bet, that the motivation has to be that God told him to leave, that has to be true for the entire story. And therefore, he moves that pasuk, theoretically, back behind, to before Perek Yud Aleph, right, or into Perek Yud Aleph. And the way he reads the story is as follows. God tells Avram, go to Canaan, and his whole family decides, well, if you're going to Canaan, so then we'll come with you. They get to Haran, right, now they start in Rukazdim. Now they get to Haran. What happens when they get to Haran? Terach likes it in Haran. So Terach decides to stay. And now Avram is delayed. Not really stuck, but delayed because his whole family agreed to go on this pilgrimage to Canaan with him. But then his father, who originally agreed to go, found that he liked Haran. So stuck around Haran. So Avram ends up sticking around in Haran for a little bit. And then Ibn Ezra therefore says, so what happened? Eventually, right, Hashem tells him to leave again or whatever, he continues on his original journey, right? Meaning, he doesn't tell him again, it's just one, right? It's one instruction to go. And again, the way he solves the problem is by suggesting that it's not an order, and therefore it's not a right. It's not a problem. Right. Again, to read it again inside, he says, "There we go." V'kamo v'der be'echad l'chodesh, etc. She'amar Hashem l'Avram kodem zeh pasuk she'vikach terach. Right. It happened first, and then. So just out of order. Right? The proper order is simply just turned into a puzzle piece. God tells Avram to go. Avram goes. His whole family decides to join him. But they end up stopping in Haran. Now, for the Ibn Ezra, it's critical, therefore, for him to know that from the beginning they're going to Canaan. And therefore, he thinks it's one long process. Avram was told to go to Canaan, and therefore Haran was just a stop. And therefore, eventually, Avram gets stuck there, but then he continues going. Yeah.
So how does he explain the entire Chavdalev? Where...
Good. So how does he deal with Perek Chavdalev? So the way the Ibn Ezra suggests is... Okay, I see that today we're only going to get through the Ibn Ezra, but that's fine, right? Because again, so what's the Ibn Ezra do? He makes it very careful. What is Haran called? Beit Avicha. So the Ibn Ezra suggests is God knew that Haran would that Terach would end up getting caught in Haran, and this would be his new family place, right? So when he says Me'aretzachom Yimoladet Techa, so that might have meant. Right, that referred to the first stage, meaning leave Ur Kasdim, but originally he is also telling and leave Beit Avicha, meaning once your father gets stuck in Haran, I want you to leave there too. So then in Perek Chav Dalet, when he says go back to my family's place, he means. Yeah, but what he means is go back to. Right, so what he says is only Molati, and this is Ibn Ezra being very, very Medyak. Molati is Ur Kasdim, Artzi is Haran, because he lived there for a few years. So it's also Artzi, it's also Beit Avi. Now, why does he think, therefore, that Right? Once he's willing to say that, why does he think he left from Ur-Kasdim and he got the instructions of Ur-Kasdim? Because in Brit Bein HaBetarim, Hashem says, Ani Hashem Asher Tzivticha Mi-Ur-Kasdim. Right? So this is very classic Ibn Ezra. Right? I mean, Ibn Ezra, let's review what we've learned about Ibn Ezra. Right? Ibn Ezra, first of all, is very, very careful with details. Right? He is not afraid to do things out of order. And the way you see it right here is that Imamish is like splitting every phrase, right? Is that if it says Artsi and Erz Malati, and I have to figure out, well, sometimes in Charana, sometimes in Ur-Kasdim, so what he does is he plays with the pieces and he says, okay, here's how the whole story goes. He started in Ur-Kasdim, God told him to leave. The whole family went with him, but they only made it as far as Charan, but he knew he was going to Canaan. He tarries there. While he's tarrying there, Charan becomes Artsi in Beit Avi because he lives there, but it's not Molati. So, whenever God talks about when he instructed him to leave, that always refers to Ur-Kasdim. And that's why in Brit Bein HaBetarim he says, you told me to leave, Mei Ur-Kasdim. Because that was Eretz Molati. That was when he got the instruction. But he also had to leave at a later stage, Beit Avi Ur-Tzi, which is Haran. And therefore, when he tells Eliezer to go back to the place where my family is, to Artsi, well, that's not a problem, because he did live in Haran for a while, and his family had resettled in Haran. And therefore, it's not a problem. Now, it's also, I'll just end with this, it's important to know that according to the Ibn Ezra, Terach is actually part of this monotheistic pilgrimage. Right? Because he goes because Avram's been told by God, and everyone chooses to join him. Right? That is one of the things at stake in taking the Ibn Ezra's position. Okay? So we've learned a little bit about the Ibn Ezra, a little bit of how he does Parshanut, a little bit about his lack of concern for achronological readings, and how it manifests itself here. Okay? That was more.